Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
We're on day two of our literature unit. We're studying the novelist and poet. She was a poet as well. Sylvia Plath. In fact, I think she's better known for her poetry than her novel called The Bell Jar.
Yeah, she wrote Colossus or something like that, and Ariel and some other poems. So, yeah, I think she's more known for her poetry than her novels.
Uh-huh.
Actually, she only wrote the one novel, The Bell Jar, which is our featured novel for today.
She's usually referred to as the poet. So I was actually surprised. I didn't know about The Bell Jar, so it's kind of fun to learn about this novel, her first and only novel that she wrote.
Indeed. So today we're going to be talking about Sylvia Plath herself, how she dealt with mental illness herself, and the fact that there are some similarities between the character in her novel and her own life. It is kind of semi-autobiographical here. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's talk about the life and times of Sylvia Plath in today's lesson. Please listen carefully.
Many of the people and events in The Bell Jar come directly from the life of its author, Sylvia Plath. Born in 1932 in Massachusetts, USA, Plath first experienced tragedy at age 8 when her father suddenly died. As a child, she excelled in both writing and drawing. Due to her talents, she was awarded a college scholarship. Like her main character, Esther Greenwood, she accepted a temporary editing position in New York. Upon returning home, she also had a nervous breakdown and tried to kill herself. However, Plath recovered from her mental illness and went on to graduate from college with honors. She won the Fulbright Scholarship, which allowed her to continue her studies at Cambridge University in England. It was there that she met her future husband, an English poet named Ted Hughes. They seemed to have a wonderful life at first. After getting married, Plath taught and composed her first volume of poetry entitled The Colossus. The couple also had two children. Unfortunately, their paradise didn't last forever. The couple separated shortly after Plath learned that Hughes had had an affair. Several months later, she killed herself at age 30 by carbon monoxide poisoning. Plath's enduring legacy is her poetry. Many feminists hold her as a martyr, symbolizing the plight of married women in a socially repressive age. Others view her as a great talent who succumbed to mental illness and society's expectations. The Bell Jar, Plath's first and only novel, was published in 1963, shortly before her death. Although it wasn't a bestseller then, it offers readers a glimpse into the mind of this talented artist and the world of the mentally ill.
Let's talk about today's lesson, everybody. Trapped inside of the bell jar. You could also say trapped inside the bell jar. That's okay, too. You could use the of or leave it out if you want to. We're going to talk exactly about what a bell jar is in just a second, but if you're trapped inside something, that means you can't get out. There's no escape. Well, here's the first paragraph here. It says, many of the people and events in the bell jar come directly from the life of its author, Sylvia Plath. Yes, some authors do base their novels on real life experiences.
Uh-huh.
Some of them make everything up. But here the people and the events in the bell jar actually come directly from her life. These are people she knew, and these are experiences she had.
True enough. Well, let's take a look at her own life. She was born in 1932 in the state of Massachusetts. That's back on the East Coast of the United States. So she was born quite a while ago. She first experienced tragedy at age 8. What was so sad that happened to her at this age? Well, her father suddenly died. That's tough for anybody, but that's at a very young age to lose your father. Oh, I would hate that. Well, a tragedy is something that's very traumatic. It's very sad that something that happens. It usually involves death. or serious injury of some sort. So when we talk about, for example, a natural disaster, like a hurricane or an earthquake or a typhoon, and someone passes away, it's described as being a tragedy.
And the adjective is tragic. You could have a tragic experience, for example, if your father suddenly dies when you're only 8 years old. That would be very tragic. It would be a tragedy.
Yeah.
So as a child, she excelled in both writing and drawing. Yes, indeed, she was an accomplished artist as well as a writer. So if you excel in something, that means you are excellent at something.
Yes.
They're related there, excellence. Excel is the verb. Maybe you've used the software program Excel. What is that, a data processing program or something?
Uh-huh.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But, to excel means to do really good at something, to do really well at something, to be really good at something. She was good at writing and drawing. She excelled in those two things.
Well, she was very talented, so due to her talents, she was awarded a college scholarship. Due to means because of, for this reason. Your talents are things that you're naturally gifted with. You could be born with a talent to sing or draw. It doesn't mean that's the best you'll ever be. You could actually take lessons or study it at school and become even better at something that you do.
And I guess you kind of alluded to this, but these talents aren't necessarily things you are born with. These things can be trained.
Uh-huh.
You can be good at these things without having a natural tendency to do those things.
True.
I think Mozart went through thousands of hours of practice to become the musician that we all know and love. But yes, she had these talents in writing and drawing, so she was awarded a college scholarship. So if you're awarded something, not rewarded, but awarded, that means you're given something, like some kind of government grant or something. In this case, it's a college scholarship, which means money from somebody so that you can study in a university.
Yeah, if you're awarded something, it's because you won a competition or you're very good at something. It's very different from reward, so be careful. She was awarded a college scholarship, which was a sum of money paid for her to go to a school that maybe she couldn't afford before. It's nice to have scholarships, isn't it? Now, like her main character, Esther Greenwood, in her book, The Bell Jar, she accepted a temporary editing position in New York, too. So remember, in our first program, Tom talked about how her book was autobiographical, which means she used a lot of her own life to write her story. It's still called a novel because lots of it is fictional. It's not true. She made it up. But Esther, just like herself, had a temporary editing position in New York with a publishing company. It was a magazine. So if you edit, you take someone's writing and you improve it. Sometimes you're changing the grammar. Sometimes you're tightening the writing up a little bit. Tom and I do a lot of editing here in Taiwan where we take writing that's done by a Taiwanese writer and make the English a little bit better. So she had a temporary position in New York editing for a magazine. Temporary means for a short term only.
They probably needed extra workers for a busy season or something like that. So it wasn't a permanent job.
No.
But at least it was some kind of opportunity and some experience. But later on, she returned home to Massachusetts, which is where Boston is. When she did that, she had a nervous breakdown and she tried to kill herself. She tried to commit suicide. If you have a nervous breakdown, you've got too much pressure and you're suffering from all sorts of mental torment. So basically, you collapse, you start crying uncontrollably. I've never seen anybody have a nervous breakdown. I guess there are different ways this can happen. But basically, you just kind of fall apart. You fall apart at the seams.
You can't handle anything. People who have nervous breakdowns just have too much pressure on them. Sometimes they do start crying, like Tom said. Sometimes they just start yelling. People can't get them to listen or settle down. Sometimes they need some medicine to keep them from crying themselves sick. So it's very serious. What happened to her is she actually tried to kill herself.
Ooh.
She couldn't handle it anymore, handle the pressure. And if you try to kill yourself, that's also called suicide. She tried to commit suicide. Thankfully, she didn't succeed that time. However, she was able to recover. To get better means you recover from something. She recovered from her mental illness. Remember, if it's mental, it has something to do with your brain, your mind. It's not physical. So sometimes people don't understand what you're going through because they can't see the pain that you're feeling. It's not like having a broken leg or cancer where people can see that you're in physical pain. So sometimes people don't really understand people with mental illness.
And she was able to recover from her mental illness, and she went on to graduate from college with honors. That means you get special recognition, special honors, special treatment by the powers that be, the dean or something like that. You get special colors on your tassels or something like that. I would know that. I've never graduated with honors before. But she did do pretty well there. She overcame her illness and went on to bigger and better things, as we're going to find out. Let's continue with our lesson in just a second. Let's stop talking right now and listen to our Chinese teacher. Please listen carefully.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要来看作者本身他的一些故事。其实瓶中美人许多的人事物都是直接取材于作者的人生。我们来看一下第一段的第二个句子。Born in 1932 in Massachusetts, USA, Plath first experienced tragedy at age 8 when her father suddenly died. 其实他在八岁那一年，他的父亲就骤逝，这就是他所经历的第一起悲剧。在英文里面，悲剧性的事物都可以用 tragedy 这个字来解释。举例来说，每年都有数千名的儿童死于饥饿，是一件悲剧啊。It's a tragedy that thousands of children die of hunger every year. 在经历这样的悲剧呢，他其实在小时候非常擅长写作跟绘画，所以在第一段中间就提到 ,Due to her talents, she was awarded a college scholarship.正因为呢他的天赋异禀，所以他甚至被授予了大学的奖学金。在英文里面 ,award 这个字可以用来当作动词，就有授予的意思。To award somebody a gold medal, 也就是颁给某人金牌的意思。第一段的最后一句 ,Upon returning home, she also had a nervous breakdown and tried to kill herself.尽管呢，他跟书中的主角一样，得到了一个不错的编辑职位，但是一返乡后，他也就有了 a nervous breakdown， 精神崩溃，并且试图自杀。在这里提到的 upon 加上 ving， 在中文里面就解释成为一怎么样就怎么样。然而呢，他也是从精神疾病中康复，而且从大学以优异的成绩来毕业。在英文里面，我们讲到以优异的成绩从大学当中毕业，就可以说 graduate from college with honors。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson. We're talking about the writer of our featured novel, The Bell Jar. The writer's name is Sylvia Plath. She's from Massachusetts, but she suffered tragedy when she was young. Her father died when she was only 8, but she was good at writing and drawing. She went to New York to work as a temporary editor, but she had a nervous breakdown when she went back home. But she recovered and then graduated from college with honors. And in fact, she went on to win the Fulbright Scholarship, which allowed her to continue her studies at Cambridge University in England. I've known various people who've gotten the Fulbright Scholarship before. Uh-huh. It's some kind of scholarship. I think it comes from the federal government, and it allows you to study overseas.
Yeah, I knew someone here who had won a Fulbright Scholarship. It's kind of cool.
that allowed her to go to the UK, the United Kingdom. That's where Cambridge is located. It's located there in England. It's a beautiful campus. You know, they're really old buildings in England, and Cambridge has some of the oldest. It's great. If you get a chance to go see Cambridge University, take it. It's kind of cool. Well, it was there that she met her future husband, an English poet named Ted Hughes. Her future husband, which means at this point in the story, of course, they're just getting to know each other. They're not married yet. What did Ted do? Well, he was an English poet. He wrote poetry. I have seen feminine and masculine words for poet. Sometimes you'll see poetess, but most of the time we call female and male people who write poetry poets, both of them.
Indeed. So this is a famous English poet. I don't know if he was famous, but he was an English poet by the name of Ted Hughes. She met him, and they seemed to have a wonderful life at first after getting married, or after they got married.
Uh-huh.
Plath taught and composed her first volume of poetry entitled The Colossus. Okay, so remember, she was mainly a poet, not so much a novelist. So she taught in order to make a living. She may have taught at Cambridge. And she put together her first volume of poetry. She composed it. We're using the word compose here as a verb. It just means you create some kind of work of art. You can compose poetry. You can compose music.
Typically, we'll use the verb compose only with music. But you will see it occasionally with poetry. So she wrote her first volume of poetry. It was entitled, that was the name of it, The Colossus. Colossus means something that's really bigger than life size. So maybe she felt like her poetry was very important. I don't know. But that was the name of the volume. Notice here, it's a volume of poetry. It's not just one poem. So a volume is a book that contains a series of works. So it could have, it could have 100 poems for all I know. So it was just her first volume of poetry. She took all of her poems, put them together, and then published a volume of poetry. That's what they usually do as poets. They don't just publish one poem at a time.
Indeed. So the couple, they had a great married life, and they had two children. And unfortunately, though, their paradise didn't last forever.
No.
Sounds like a very ideal situation there, living in Cambridge, teaching there, composing poetry.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great life to have, living there in the center of all that culture and stuff, and being able to drink English tea and to have some of their ales and stuff there. But
have
you know,
some scones, some biscuits.
There you go. That sounds really tasty, actually. But yeah, that could be a paradise for some people. Paradise, of course, is like the ultimate place to live. We say heaven if we're talking about religions like Christianity or even Islam. They have heaven. But paradise isn't so much a religious term. It does refer to an ideal place to be, to achieve paradise, to reach paradise. But it didn't last forever. Nothing stays the same.
Yeah, if you have a great vacation and you go somewhere that's so beautiful, it's just about perfect, you could say it's paradise. Well, the couple separated shortly after Plath learned that her husband had an affair. He cheated on her, that pig.
Uh-oh.
Okay, if you separate, it means you're no longer together. You're not divorced yet. You've just decided to live apart. Usually when a couple separates, they will divorce within the next year or two. But some couples actually, you know, get back together after they, you know, talk through. But unfortunately, her husband wasn't such a great guy, and he had an affair.
Indeed. So she separated from him, and several months later, she killed herself at age 30 by carbon monoxide poisoning. We know that's CO, one carbon atom bonded with one oxygen atom, carbon monoxide. It is a gas. It's not good for you. Of course, we're all worried about carbon dioxide these days, but carbon monoxide is another bad one. I believe she closed off the windows in the kitchen or something and then turned on the oven, the gas in the oven, And she breathed in all that carbon monoxide and died.
Yeah, if there's a gas leak and no oxygen comes into your room or your apartment, you could die of this. It's a terrible way to go. It's actually a very easy death because you just go to sleep. But you don't want that to happen.
Unfortunately, you do hear about this happening from time to time here in Taiwan because people's windows are closed or something and there's a gas leak. So make sure that doesn't happen to you.
Keep your windows open.
But she did this on purpose. She committed suicide. She killed herself only at the age of 30 using this method. Now, Plath's enduring legacy is her poetry, not so much her novel there. I think when the novel came out, they didn't really think it was all that great or anything really special. Maybe it's special now, you know, because, you know, she's a famous poet or something.
Yeah.
But if something is enduring, that means it continues or lasts for a long time. And, of course, your legacy refers to basically how famous you are after a certain amount of time, usually after when you're dead.
Something that you leave behind after you pass away, her legacy is thought to be her poetry because it's considered to be really wonderful. She was quite a great poet. Many feminists hold her as a martyr. Let's talk about what a feminist is. It's someone who believes that females, you know, deserve better rights, that the men are treated more fairly in this world than females are. So a lot of feminists think, wow, Sylvia Plath is a martyr. A martyr is someone who dies for a cause. They're killed because of their beliefs, or they die holding on to their beliefs. The feminists believe she's a martyr because she was in a marriage that she actually wasn't very happy in. They feel like she was forced to choose between marriage and a career, and she chose this guy who actually was unfaithful. And so it ended up, you know, hurting her. Actually, I think she was less a martyr than she was a victim of her mental disease or mental health.
It depends on your point of view. If you're talking to a feminist, be careful of what you say. They might get angry. But in any case, yes, they consider her a martyr. She sacrificed her life because of some cheating
pig.
Pig. Male chauvinist pig. And they do also consider her as symbolizing the plight of married women in a socially repressive age.
Uh-huh.
Symbolizing the plight. The plight is just the difficult life that people are having. Married women are living in the socially repressive age. At least they were then. I don't know how much things have changed now. But, yeah, it was a dilemma, as we talked about before. Should I settle down or should I have my career? And if I do decide to have a career, I'm not getting much support from my husband. He just wants me to stay home and take care of the kids.
Now, if you are living in a repressive age or a repressive country or a repressive society, it means some of your freedom is being restrained or held back. They're preventing you from really doing what you want. Still in the Middle East, a lot of women are socially repressed. That's the adjective form. They aren't allowed to go to school. They have to wear veils over their faces. They can't drive. That's a socially repressed society. Well, a lot of people thought she was repressed because back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, women really didn't have as many choices as they do today.
And other people view her as a great talent who succumbed to mental illness and society's expectations. So, yes, some people think that, yes, she was brilliant, she was great talent, but unfortunately she suffered from mental illness. She succumbed to it, which means she couldn't resist it. It just controlled her. She was not able to keep it away. And also, she succumbed to society's expectations. Your expectations, of course, are what other people expect of you. Your parents might have high expectations of you, for example. Hopefully, you won't be under too much pressure because of that, and you won't have a nervous breakdown.
In Taiwan, I've noticed that a lot of people use expectation, the singular form, but we use it in the plural form. When we talk about things people expect you to achieve, like your parents.
Great Expectations by Charles Dickens.
The Bell Jar is her first and only novel. It was published shortly before her death. It wasn't a bestseller then, but it offers readers a glimpse, a quick look into the mind of this talented artist and the world of the mentally ill. It'll give you a better view of what it was like back then. Okay, guys, we've run out of time. We're going to listen once more to our Chinese teacher.
后来作者 Plath 到了 Cambridge 来深造，也就在那里遇见了他未来的丈夫。我们来看第二段中间的句子写着 It was there that she met her future husband, an English poet named Ted Hughes. 在这里我们用了 it was 点点点 that 这种分裂句的句型来强调我们要强调的地点。It was there, 就是在那里她遇见了她未来的丈夫是一位英国的诗人。After getting married, Plath taught and composed her first volume of poetry entitled The Colossus. 在婚后呢她开始教书并且创作她的第一本诗集标题 Entitled。在这里要注意以被动的方式来表示被冠上的标题就是 The Colossus 而这里前面的动词 compose 则是有做诗歌做文章作曲都可以用 compose 这个动词咯然而这样的幸福天堂也没有持续很久后来先生有了外遇而夫妻俩就分居第二段的最后一句提到 Several months later, she killed herself at age 30 by carbon monoxide poisoning. 数月之后呢，她在30岁的时候死于一氧化碳中毒自杀。最后一段提到 Plath says, Enduring legacy is her poetry. 事实上她所留下来的正是不朽的文学遗产。Legacy 在这里当作是遗产的意思 To leave somebody a legacy of 5,000 pound 指的就是留给某人有5000英镑的遗产的意思 Many feminists hold her as a martyr symbolizing the plight of married women in a socially repressive age也是因为她，那么呢，被许多女权主义者视为烈士。在英文里面的 martyr 指的就是烈士或者是殉难者的意思，因为它象征着 symbolizing 这些已婚妇女在社会压抑年代里面所身处的困境。在这里的 repressive 是一个很重要的形容词，解释成为压制的、压迫的。而其他的人怎么看她呢？后面的句子写着 Others view her as a great talent who succumbed to mental illness and society's expectations. 其他人则是视她为一位屈服于精神疾病跟社会期望之下的杰出天才。这里的 succumb to something 就是有向什么屈服或者是被什么说服的意思。最后一句我们来看到 Although it wasn't a bestseller then 这里的 it 指的就是 The Bell Jar 这本小说虽然当时并非畅销书 It offers readers a glimpse into the mind of this talented artist and the world of the mentally ill 却透过这本书让读者可以一窥这名才华艺术家的心思以及精神病人的世界
That's it for today. Thanks for joining us and make sure you join us again next time when we continue to talk about the Bell Jar. Until then, for English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.